It is 4 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM, which means it's time for my weekly show titled Hi, Kifak Sava. This is DJ Ramsey coming to you this Thursday and every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. and bringing you a mix of songs coming to you or centered on Lebanon, and where three languages are often spoken and often spoken simultaneously. So the title of the show, which is Hi Kifak Sava, is in three languages. That would be English, French, and Arabic. And in the spirit of the show, let's just jump in and hear a trilingual mix, starting off with the diva of Lebanon, the premier lady of Lebanon. Her name is Fairuz, and we're going to start the show with her singing a song called Bint Shalabiya. And that will take us into a French track and then an English one. Hopefully, you'll enjoy the mix. I'll be with you until 6 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM.
Hi, Kifak Sava.
Hi, Sava.
Hi, Kifak Sava.
Kifak Inta.
Thank you.
fais-tu maintenant?
Lebanese singer Tanya Saleh singing a song in English. The song was called Slow Down, and it happens to be a track that Tanya Saleh herself recorded while in the United States a few years ago. And this Tanya Saleh, whose name you might have heard on my show before, is really one of the most amazing, groundbreaking singers to come out of Lebanon lately. She has an album called Wehde that, you know, simply offers the best of alternative Lebanese music, and sort of mixes genres and fuses Eastern and Western beats together in what I would like to call perfect harmony. You just heard Tanya singing the song Slow Down. Before that, we heard a song in French by another female vocalist from the Middle East. This time, her name was Natasha Atlas. And Natasha Atlas, who was the lead vocalist for the group Trans Global Underground, has had a very, lucrative and very rewarding career as a female vocalist on her own. And the song that we played for her was called La Nuit est sur la Ville. Translated, that means Night is Upon the City. And that song, sung by an Arab artist in French, was taken from her album called Munqaliba, In a State of Reversal. We began the set at around 4 p.m., the time of my show every week, with the Lebanese well-known singer Fairouz. She goes by one name. And we played a track called El Bint Shalabia, translated, that is, The Beautiful Girl. That was sort of a remake of one of her early hits, by the same title, obviously. And that was from her brand new album, which was released earlier this year, called E Fi Amal, translated, that is, Yes, There Is Hope. I hope you enjoyed the trilingual mix that I began my show with today, and every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM. I'm your DJ Ramsey, and my show, Hi Kifak Sava, comes to you every Thursday from 4 to 6. We are also streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And if you'd like to know the spelling or the names of the songs or artists that I'm playing, because many of them sound, well, at least a little bit foreign to some of our listeners, then feel free to go to kzsu.stanford.edu and navigate from there to the playlist for the show. Or you can go to zookeeper.stanford.edu and do the same. Throughout the show, I'm going to try and attempt to bring you a different kind of music. Music you may not have heard about, artists you may not have heard of, and in a way to get you to hopefully investigate the kind of terrific music that's been coming out of the Middle East, and more specifically from Lebanon, where French, Arabic, and English are often spoken. Often in the same sentence as in my show's title. I also will be featuring today on the show, as I've done in the past few weeks, a special interview as part of my exclusive set of interviews that I conducted over the summer when I was myself in Beirut, Lebanon, and got the chance to meet many artists and singers and writers and entrepreneurs and a wide variety of people, young and old, who sat down with me and agreed to kind of share their perspective on what's going on in their country, in Lebanon, as well as their aspirations for the future and the way maybe they can inform any kind of sort of East-West dialogue or discourse that seems to be so needed these days. So today is no exception, because I will be bringing to you in the later part of the show, or in the next 15 minutes, let's say, I will be bringing to you my exclusive interview with a young man named Mazen Hajjar, who is actually the owner of a beer company in Lebanon, and whose story is truly fascinating in terms of starting his business in a war-torn country, and some of the obstacles that he faced and overcame. And my hope is that hearing his story will kind of stir the spirit of entrepreneurship among our listeners, as well as uplift the spirit, and by reminding us that despite the obstacles, we can always get to a better place and hopefully realize one's dreams. Before I do that, though, the 9th annual San Francisco International South Asian Film Festival takes place from November 9th through the 13th at the Roxy and Castro Theaters in the city. The festival presents 16 programs featuring films from India, Pakistan, Nepal, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Tibet, and the U.S. Documentaries and indie narratives take center stage, with Saturday night, the 12th at the Castro, taking Bollywood in a whole new direction. For more information, visit www.30.org/festival. That's www.thirdi.org/festival. This is DJ Ramsey. I'll be with you until 6 p.m. Today. The show again is Hi Kifak Saba. And I think we're ready to kind of get into the Lebanese music that I've been gloating about since the beginning of the show. And one of those singers that I think is starting to slowly emerge on the Lebanese underground music scene is a young lady named Rima Khshesh. Very difficult spelling of her last name. And she released an album called Falak, which in Arabic means orbit, and it's sort of one of those hypnotic albums where You know, even if you don't understand what she's talking about, you kind of feel the magical, enchanting quality in her voice. It's a very soothing album. And I'm going to play for you the title track named Orbit, or Falak in Arabic, a special dedication to anyone in love out there, as she dedicates the song to the one she loves. And we'll see where that will take us, hopefully to the interview, eventually, that I promised you with Mazen Hajjar. And we'll see how things take us from there. We are streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And I'll be with you until 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here at Stanford University on this, I have to say, this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being with me. And let's go right to Rimach Sheish and Falak.
هيدي غني لإلك دوائر ونجوم وفلك رفقة قمر ولمسة هنا ما هي قوي جاذبيتك كل الأشياء وأنا بحبك آخر صورة أنت قبل ما أحلم فيك رمشة عين وما في حدا غيرك كأنه الحلم Ooh. صبرت فيها وخدتيه غير الفراق اللي انت كتب لي وعشت فيه وغاب عني وفراق وحبيبي شئ تاني عزاك مش بالكلام
Thank you.
That was Reem Banna, a Palestinian Israeli singer, and the song was called Malik, taken from her album or her greatest hits album in Arabic called Al-Rawa'i'. And before that, we heard from another singer from Lebanon who actually goes by one name. This time her name is Elisa. And we heard a song called Bastanak, which translates into I'm Waiting for You. And that song was from an album by the same name. Elisa is sort of a very popular female vocalist from Lebanon. She was recently in Las Vegas, where she performed at the Paris Hotel there. And before that, we heard a track called Falak by Rima Khshesh. That very soothing track came from her album named Falak, translated as Orbit. Rima Khshesh represents a sort of alternative Lebanese music that's coming out of Lebanon, where you kind of maybe hear the song and you're not sure whether this is Eastern or Western, and because she kind of borrows from both. And though she sings in Arabic, I think her music and her words are sort of universal, and you can hear sort of in her voice the kind of love and romance that the track creates on its own. Reem Khshesh, Elisa, and Reem Banna are only three examples of female vocalists coming from the Arab world who are creating beautiful music on their own, and hopefully they will get you to further investigate the kind of gorgeous music that's coming in from Lebanon and from the region. Music that is often surprising to many in the West, and certainly many of the students here at Stanford who I think feel sometimes that it's going to be alienating in some way, and in fact ends up being quite near to the heart. So I hope you've enjoyed this kind of mix. I did promise you at the beginning of the show that I would have my interview with Mazen Hajjar, and I'll be doing that in just a moment. Before that, I wanted to thank you for tuning in, and that is every Thursday to my show, Hi Kifak Sava, the show that attempts to fuse East and West, and to do so in a trilingual way, using French, Arabic, and English, and sometimes even other languages. So I hope you'll stay tuned until 6 p.m. with me here, DJ Ramsey, every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM.
Fair housing is everyone's right. If you believe that you've been denied an apartment because of your race, national origin, or because you have children, or because you have a disability, please call Fair Housing Center of Project Sentinel, a nonprofit agency that investigates housing discrimination, at 888-FAIR-HOUSING. That's 888-FAIR-HOUSING.
This show is Hi Kifak Sava, and this is your DJ Ramsey. And I wanted to remind everybody that after the show today at around 5:55 p.m., we to please stay tuned for Stanford Sports Women's Volleyball at Colorado, and that will be from 5:55 p.m. until 8 p.m. tonight, so that's immediately following my show here on KZSU 90.1 FM. We are streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. I think I'm going to move on to from the music to an interview now, and the much-promised interview with Mazen Hajjar that I conducted this summer while I was in Beirut, Lebanon, and where I got to meet so many interesting people and people who are doing so many surprising things with their lives. Mazen Hajjar sort of typifies the kind of entrepreneurial spirit that seems to reign all over Lebanon, you know, which is kind of a chaotic country in some ways, but also is surprisingly liberal and open-minded in terms of many social issues, and certainly seems to attract tourists from all over the region. It used to be known, Lebanon, as the Paris of the Middle East back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I don't know how much you know about the history of Lebanon, but it was a sort of sadly, a civil war sort of broke out in 1975 and continued for quite a long time until the 90s, and it was not a nice period, to say the least, in Lebanese history. The country is sort of coming back, and this summer I was delighted to see so many musicians and writers and many, many creative artists sort of doing what they love. And that ranged from music and writing and poetry and publishing and such things to many new businesses that were opening, where people were sort of following their passions and doing something that they may not have been trained necessarily to do, but that they've always had their heart set on doing. And this is why I thought the Mazen Hajjar interview would mean a lot to so many out there, because in many ways this is a young man who decided to start his own beer company after having minimal experience in that field. The result was a Lebanese beer called 961 Beer. And while I was there, I got the chance to tour the facility and, you know, and I don't know too much about beer, but certainly I was impressed by what I saw. And but more so also by the amazing personality that I met. Mazen Hajjar himself is quite an enigmatic person, very very charming, very knowledgeable, and with quite a bit of sense of humor. So conducting this interview with him over the summer, this summer in Lebanon, was a true pleasure. And I began the interview, which was recorded over the summer of 2011, by asking him about, you know, his own plans for, you know, or his own background and why he decided to start his own company. And I think if you tune in, you're going to be pleasantly surprised by some of his answers. Other answers may shock you, but either way, I think my attempt here is to show how universal some of these some of these ambitions can be in terms of wanting to do something that you are truly or that you truly have a passion for, and even if it means doing it late in life. This is sort of, I think, what I surmise from the Mazen Hajjar interview. I'm going to leave you with that interview over the next, 10, 15 minutes. And I hope you'll enjoy it. It's conducted in English, of course. And it'll take us till around 5 p.m. That'll be the halfway point of my show, Hai Kifak Sava. We are coming to you live at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And my name is DJ Ramsey. I'm also sort of tweeting here as I enter my songs and playlists. So you can always check us at KZSUDJ, and that would be through Twitter. You can check us online at kzsu.stanford.edu or at zookeeper.stanford.edu. Both of these websites will enable you to track the playlists, and sure, as many DJs here do, we try our best to keep current on the playlist so that you can kind of get an idea of who's singing at the time they're singing it. So I hope you've been enjoying the show, and I hope you'll join me every Thursday between 4 and 6 p.m. here on the Hai Kifak Sava show. And I'm going to let you leave you now in good company, and that would be with my pre-recorded interview with Mazen Hajjar, coming to you from Lebanon.
Okay, so Mazen, can you tell us a little bit about how this whole concept started, this whole company began, what year, and under what circumstances, please?
Well, thank you for having me with you guys. The company started really as an idea in about the year 2000, initially. And I'm a big fanatic of food, beverage, good food, good beverages. And it always struck me that in Lebanon we have pretty good wine, amazing harak, which is kind of an ouzo type drink. But we really only have had one brewery for the last 75 years.
Really?
And that brewery, unfortunately, made your run-of-the-mill average pilsner, kind of the commercial stuff that you get everywhere. Pretty tasteless. And I took a decision to learn more about making beer. And, you know, it was very tough in the beginning because there are no breweries in the region, and I was the only guy who was interested in the subject, couldn't even find books, so I was ordering everything I could get off Amazon, wow, reading up. And about 5 years later, I met my Danish partner in 2005, Henrik Hagen. He was walking down the street from my house, and I bumped into him accidentally. I'd never met him before. And he was there on a five-day trip. He'd never been to Lebanon before. So we hung out, and on the last day, just before he left, we were having dinner. And he said, well, you keep nagging about aviation. I was the CEO, the youngest CEO of an airline. I raised quite a chunk of money to start the first airline when I was 29.
Wow.
It was supposed to be the first low-fare airline in the Middle East, but then the Lebanese government wouldn't grant us the rights to break the monopoly of Middle East Airlines, our national carrier.
I see. So, but your segue.
Yeah, so I was nagging about working in airlines and what a tough life it is to take 180 flights a year and not have a home. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to start a beer company and brew some beer. And his girlfriend had come back from the toilet, so the conversation ended back then. And we went off into what are you having and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
2 weeks later, I get a phone call after he'd gone back saying, wow, I had a great time in Beirut. That was amazing. And by the way, screw you. I'm like, why? He goes, well, I haven't slept for 2 weeks thinking about this beer idea. And if you want to take it to the next level and if you let me, I'll co-invest with you. And basically, it started off me and him putting in equal amounts of money and just starting a little project that kind of took a life of its own and started growing dramatically. And funnily enough, the company materialized during the July 2006 siege on Lebanon, which was probably the toughest time in Lebanon in modern Lebanese history in the post-2000. We were being bombed, and Henrik's money had arrived about 3 days before the bombing started. And I had just quit my job as the advisor to the Crown Prince of Ras Al Khaimah and running their national airline. And I was here to establish the beer, and suddenly I wake up one morning and the airport's being bombed and then all hell breaks loose.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, my partner's Danish. He's been here 3 times prior to the conflict and now there's a war, so he's going to freak out. 6 or 7 days later, I finally get a phone call from Henrik and bombs are falling outside the window. And he goes, what is this noise? I'm like, it's bombs. He goes, oh my God, it's serious. I'm like, yeah, they're bombing us. He goes, so did you register the company? I'm like, Henrik, your money's safe. I'll just transfer it as soon as I can back. What are you, an idiot? You didn't set up the company? I'm like, no. He goes, well, go set it up. I'm like, the country's being bombed. The government's shut down.
Right.
How can we set it up? He goes, I'm sure Lebanon will bounce back. This is just a phase. What are you, an idiot? We can tell people we set up a company under siege. It'll be so unique.
Wow.
And that was the day when I got up, I called all my friends over, and that was the first brew we ever did,
wow,
which turned out to be absolutely undrinkable. It was rubbish. It was muck. It was full of fungus. It was so bad. And I was still insisted on trying it because I had brewed this thing and waited 2 weeks for it. And it looked green and smelled foul because I didn't know.
Right.
And then we read some more and started brewing some more. And eventually, we had Sunday research sessions. I mean, literally, we were brewing on my oven top.
Wow.
We were the only people in the region brewing beer at home.
And this is all 2006.
This is 2006. I mean, it took a life of its own, and I started realizing that when people would come over and, my partners would come over on Sunday and I would cook and we would have research sessions where we basically drank ourselves silly with the beer.
Wow.
Tasting all the different stuff that we have brewed. And then suddenly people started bringing people in. And I would be like, sorry, I haven't cooked enough food. And they would be, no, we're just here for the beer. And one night at 10 p.m., I had two guys stop at my door, knock at the door at completely. I open the door, there's two guys standing there. And they're like, are you Mazen Hajar? I'm like, yeah. They go, well, we've heard you make good beer. Can we buy some? And I felt like some drug pusher in the middle of the night trying to push this beer down people's throat. So we took a decision to buy the first brewery from Canada. And that's when I took things seriously. I flew to Montreal. I took an advanced brew master's class, which lasted about a month. And then I flew back. And we had taken delivery of this brewery, which came in pieces.
Wow.
Me and my partner, at this point, Omar had joined us. Me and Omar opened up these containers, and we had 4,000 pieces of valves and butterfly valves and connectors and adapters and all sorts of weird stuff we'd never seen before. And we had no engineering map. So we called the Canadian company that sent us the brewery, and we said, can we have the engineering maps? And they said, this is not a Lego set. Have you never put a system together? We said no, and they said, "What are you idiots? You buy a brewery with absolutely no knowledge."
Wow.
Yeah, we can send you an expert. It's $10,000 every 3 days, and it'll take them about 3 months to put the thing together.
Lord.
And we were like, "Right, we have about enough money to pay for 3 days." So we figured it out. We put the brewery together. We started brewing. The first day we started brewing was July 2007. On the big system, and that went well, surprisingly, despite the big disclaimer we got by email from the Canadian company saying, don't be an idiot, don't do this, don't brew on your own, have us check it out, it might explode, someone might get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We brewed and sent them the pictures, so they called us up the next day and said, you guys are either insane or geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we'd like to use you as kind of poster child to show how simple it is to brew on our system. So that was a big encouragement for us. We opened our pub in September 07, and finally the beer became available.
And this pub is in what area?
It was in Gymnasium, Shafi'i.
Oh, okay, so we're talking Beirut.
Beirut, yeah. And the idea behind the pub was quite simple. We didn't want to go into the market. We were afraid that, one, we're introducing a brand new product and people were not going to understand what a red ale and what a stout is and what a wheat beer is. Because they've only been exposed to Heineken Almaza, which is a Heineken-owned brand, Budweiser, Corona. And now you're going to come in with a stout, a red ale, an imperial stout, a double IPA, all that kind of good stuff. We had built up the hype through our friends on Facebook, funnily enough. Yeah. And before we even opened, before there was a bottle of 961 out in the market, we had 1,500 members of the group. There were no fan pages back then.
Wow.
So we took a decision, I remember, Thursday night at 9 p.m. to open the bar the next day. So we didn't actually hold a hosting, invite people or anything. We just sent a message to the group saying, guys, we're open tomorrow, come try us out. And when we opened, our lager kegs weren't working. So we only had an imperial stout, which was 8.5% alcohol with espresso coffee added to it.
Oh, wow.
So imagine this society had been psyched up about this beer. And they come into the bar, they order a beer. And they get this dark thing that smells of coffee and it's really tasty. They're used to watery beer.
Right.
And it shocked the brains of people. We opened, the place had 80 seats. We had 300 people standing outside the shop, outside the place, and we had 150 inside.
Wow. Wow. And so now the beer is kind of sold all over Lebanon?
Yeah.
Or is it through distributors? Is it available online?
We've gone through a two-tier phase in our life. I mean, our brewery ideally was, we had set up the bar as kind of a flagship store where people would come in and interact with us and we would talk to them about each of the individual styles of beer and kind of educate people about what we're trying to do. Because we thought that traditional media would never get this done. So the minute you walked into the bar, you got a sampler set of 6 beers.
Mm.
And we had brewed 20 beers over the time we had the bar open. And then suddenly, we started bottling in March 08, about 3 years ago. We started bottling in March 08, and when we first hit the market, we sold nothing. I mean, we sold 50 cases a month. Then we sold 20 cases a month, and we thought, oh my God, this is going to be a flop. It's a catastrophe. We were producing 1,000 cases a month. That was our capacity. That's all we could produce. Simply, we didn't have enough tanks. And at that point, it didn't really matter. It looked like we were going bankrupt. And so we kept bankrolling this out of our own pockets, getting a few of the other friends to put in some money. And then I don't know what happened or why it happened, but suddenly demand started growing. And by March 2009, we couldn't keep up. So we had to close the bar in March 2009 to focus on the beer. And it was selling out. We would put the beer on the shelves on Tuesday. It was out by Wednesday. And people come up to me and say, did you guys go bankrupt? We can't find your beer anywhere. I got phone calls from ambassadors, one of the ambassadors here in town, and she says, you know how hard politics are in Lebanon? I said, yeah. She goes, well, my hardest job is finding your beer.
Wow.
So it was at that point that we took a decision to really take it to the next level. So we were producing 200, 250,000 bottles a year. We decided to up our production capacity to 5 million, thinking we'll produce 2.5 million. And we'll have 50% capacity spare to grow. We found a new location to house the facility. We designed and custom built the brewery in Lebanon. So everything's Lebanese made.
So we're speaking about this brewery.
This actual brewery that you're in. And we took the keys of this place. We closed down the old brewery in December 2009. Took the keys here on the 1st of March. And moved in and started work. Now, Murphy's Law, if anything might go wrong, it probably will. So we only finally got the beer out the door back again a month and a half ago. So there was a year's gap of absolutely no beer.
So this is pretty recent. It's almost like a relaunch or launch of the...
Absolutely, absolutely. And the problem was we were getting all these phone calls. I mean, we're a tiny brewery, really tiny. I mean, we produced 1,000 cases a month. And we were on CNN, the BBC, Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Time Out London, Monocle, Wallpaper, you name it, we were on it. French TV, German radio, German TV, Der Spiegel. And there was a lot of media interest. And every time an article would come out, we would get requests from all over the world. We want your beer. It seems to taste good.
Nice.
So when we relaunched, we didn't really relaunch because the people were calling us, harassing us. Our customers were like, come on, give me something, anything, give me a fix. So we relaunched this time with two brands. So we added onto the 961 portfolio another beer called Lebanese Brew. Mm. And that was a better brewed Pilsner, a real Pilsner. And I think what is happening in the States right now in the craft beer industry is there are all these extreme beers coming out. Everyone's doing crazy things in beer. It's much harder to brew a good session beer. And technically, it's the most difficult thing for me to brew is a good Pilsner. So it was kind of a trip down technical lane rather than kind of the emotional, oh, I think this tastes great and let me try it in beer and see what happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get my creative juices going, but it keeps me technically sound. 961, we've readjusted some of the regular beers that we have. So now we have a lager, a red ale. We're coming out with our porter next week and our wit beer in 2 weeks.
Wow.
We're going to add on top of that an IPA and a Trappist triple.
Okay, these are very technical terms for me and my listeners, but we're understanding in layman's terms.
The triple is a beer traditionally brewed by the monks in Belgium. It's a 9% beer.
Okay.
Our twist on it is we add chamomile to it. The IPA is widely available. It's kind of our take on it is we're going to continuously hop a West Coast style IPA. So we're not doing anything original, but we're bringing something quite unique to the region. Our red ale is a really nicely hoppy beer, not bitter but hoppy, not excessively bitter, very malty, very rich in malt. Dark amber color. Our lager is a pre-prohibition American lager, so it's not one of those typically flavorless lagers.
Right.
And we use a lot of Cascade hops in that. And our porter is a traditional English porter. We did some historical research, and we tried to replicate what they were doing historically. And our wit beer is kind of a... we add local wheat into it, and we add local coriander and orange peel, which comes off the farms next to us.
Nice.
So we're doing a lot of really cool stuff, but we also have another series coming out, which will be the Brewmasters Edition. And these are the that's where the creative juices start going. So our first in the series is going to be a collaborative brew with Anders Kissmeyer. He's the guy who was responsible for setting up Nørrebro Brughus, which is one of the best breweries coming out of Denmark. It's a microbrewery. He's a judge on the World Beer Cup, and he used to be a brewmaster at Carlsberg for several years. We've just designed the first Lebanese pale ale. It's a twist on the American pale ale or British pale ale style, with a lot of Lebanese herbs and spices in it, like za'atar, sma, all those kinds of good things that we put on our own food.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few more coming out in the series, and these will be available, obviously, we're still in the early stages of planning, but those are going to be the really arty beers that we're going
to
do.
Oh, it sounds really impressive, Mazen, to hear you like speak like this. It's very difficult to think that you stumbled onto this sort of by accident with your idea. It's only been a few years, and you've sort of mastered the craft and are looking forward to launching many more products, I think, with your 961 beer. Two last questions for you, Mazen, probably simplistic ones, but the title, 961 beer, does that have to do with area code for Lebanon?
It is absolutely our way of saying we're proud to be Lebanese. It's the national country code, telephone dialing code for Lebanon. And it is absolutely our way of being proud. I mean, just that name and the idea of someone Lebanese actually coming out. I mean, beer originated in this region. And beer is credited with modern human civilization.
Which is something that I think our listeners in the West and in California find it very, surprising. But beer has existed sort of in Lebanon, and Lebanon has produced beer. It's just that maybe now we're moving into a sort of more refined, more specific
beer. Beer started in Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, and Jordan, with the Sumerians, with the Mesopotamians, with the Egyptians. Beer, the first traces of any beverage on earth is 9,000 BC. Wow. And the Sumerians had a god called Ninkasi for beer. So beer originally came from this region and then spread across the world. Our concept is to bring beer back into the region and make us proud again.
And put Lebanon on the map.
Absolutely.
In the process.
Absolutely.
Do you hope to begin exporting to the West?
Yeah,
the United States?
So we had built a facility that handles 5 million up from 200,000. And we quickly sold out. 10 times our capacity. So now we're pushing our limits. We're getting more equipment, and we're going to be producing 10 million bottles next month. On an annual level. So now we're at 10 million bottles annual production level, and we will be exporting to the US. We're in the final phases of negotiating with distributors there. We're already in Hong Kong. We're already in the UK. We're already in Canada. We're going to be in France, Spain, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Australia, United Arab Emirates, Switzerland, Guadeloupe, Martinique, the 16 different countries. And it's catching on. The problem is I can't service all these markets all at the same time. So now, 1 year later, 1.5 years after we moved into this facility, we're already looking to custom build our own facility and grow our production up to probably around 65 million bottles a year.
So for our listeners and listeners around the globe, I guess the website is www.961beer.com.
Absolutely.
And that would give us information on, what's been happening, what the new line is, etc. Mazen Hajjar, what an amazing entrepreneur. And sort of, are you representative of the Lebanese spirit of entrepreneurship? And is this sort of typical of what's happening in Lebanon these days, where people are taking risks, investing their own money into businesses? It does not have to be beer, but just in general, a commentary on how unique is your project in terms of you launching yourself into a whole...
I think I'm representative of the new Lebanon. You know, Lebanon is reinventing itself and becoming more... Lebanon's image forever had been associated with the civil war that we had. And that people forget this was over 25 years ago. 30 years ago now. And 20 years... 30 years ago? 20? 1991.
Right.
And
began in 1975 and ended in 1991.
Yeah. So people, when you say Beirut, they kind of associated with these horrible things. And it's over the last 10 years that really Lebanon has been coming out of that image and becoming... The New York Times picked us as the number one destination touristic destination worldwide.
Yes.
We were picked as one of the top three in Lonely Planet, the destinations you had to visit. And all of a sudden, Lebanon's put on this cool image where people now think more of the nightlife, the cultural element, the food. And it's a birth of a new Lebanon, the way I see it. And there are a lot of really cool people doing really cool things in Lebanon. There's a lot happening in the arts field, a lot happening in the food and artisanal food. And it's really refreshing to be in Lebanon because you're mingling with all these really great people who have their own passions and their own ideas. And it's just a time of change in Lebanon.
Absolutely. And you seem to be very representative of that change by staying here and staying put and spreading internationally whilst being located.
I love my country. This is where I was born and this is where I plan to die, hopefully.
Mazen Hajjar, typical of the Lebanese entrepreneurial spirit and a wonderful guy sitting here with me today on KZSU 94.1 FM. Mazen, thank you very much. If you ever come to Stanford, make sure you bring us some samples of those beers. We will spread them around the campus. We've got a lot of frat guys and sorority girls who would love to taste your beer. For information, they could go to www.961beer.com or they could even email you, Mazen, I guess.
Yeah. Mazen.hajar, MAZEN.HAWJAR at 961beer.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
Absolutely. And if you do, make sure you click on that like button.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Mazen. After all this, I think we need to go taste this little sample of your beer. You've got my appetite wedding over here. Thank you very much, Mazen.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
This is KZSU 90.1 FM. Thank you.
Thank you.